Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. What a wonderful day this is to be in the Lord's house, to gather together and hear again the joyful news proclaimed to the women. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. After the last 3 days, the Last Supper, betrayal, and arrest on Maundy Thursday, the conviction and crucifixion on Good Friday, the rest in the tomb on Holy Saturday, we are here today to celebrate that Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And yet, can this celebration sometimes become routine? Every year we celebrate Easter, and I wonder how many of us come to church more from obligation than from devotion. How many of us are in church physically, but mentally are at home planning out Easter dinner and when everything needs to get in the oven? Now, to be fair, the first Easter didn't exactly start with people overjoyed and celebrating. In fact, far from it, the women went to the tomb with their minds full of their work, linens and spices in hand for anointing their teacher's body for burial. But when they reached the tomb, they were in for the shock of their lives. They could not ignore it. They could not continue to simply focus on their work, go through the routine. All they could do was stand and take in the awe-inspiring sight in front of them. The angel in dazzling white robes, his appearance like lightning for brilliance. The stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. The Roman soldiers collapsed like dead in front of the tomb, lying like dead men. My hope is that today, as we worship and celebrate together, as we look at the interactions at the tomb between the women and this angel, you likewise will find your attention drawn away from whatever is happening around us. That you, like the women, will live in this moment of absolute triumph as we celebrate that Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, his clothing white as snow, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." So often in Scripture, when angels appear to human beings, the first thing they say is, "Do not fear," or "Do not be afraid." And if we were to come face to face with an angel, I want you to picture for a moment what you think that an angel looks like. You're probably picturing something that looks a little like Cupid, a small cherub with chubby cheeks and cute little wings. That's not an angel, that's Cupid. But an angel in Scripture is, think more like those Roman soldiers lying unconscious before the tomb, a large, strong, with radiant white, radiant blinding skin, and wearing blindingly bleached white clothing, and that is starting to get at what the angels look like. If we were to come face to face with one of these, then we also would probably be afraid. In the case of the women, as I told the kids just a little bit ago, they came to the tomb expecting to find and assuming that they would find death. a dead body lying in the tomb. They were not expecting any of this. Everything about their Sunday has been upended for them. He continues, I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Now, the angel here already knows exactly why they came. He knows why they were so sad when they arrived. They're here to work to prepare Jesus' body for burial, because Jesus had been crucified on the third day before this, on Friday. Sunday, Saturday, Friday. This is what is most important for us for today, is this first fact about Jesus that the angel speaks to the women. Jesus who was crucified. Throughout the rest of the New Testament, this is the one thing about Jesus that the writers focus on, that this Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who was crucified, Jesus, the crucified one. Yes, Jesus performed miracles before the people. Yes, Jesus taught the people with authority. Yes, Jesus did all of these good things and powerful things. But the key to our understanding of Jesus today on Easter, as much as any other day of the year, the key of our understanding of Jesus is that he was crucified, that he died. God died on the cross. But then the angel continues, he is not here, for he has risen, as he said. What a shock this would have been for the women. Beyond the fact that they are standing here in an empty tomb, talking to an angel, of course. And yet, should any of this really be a shock for them? Jesus had already told them that this was exactly what would happen. Earlier on in Matthew's gospel, he records in chapter 16, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then, just one chapter later, in chapter 17, he tells them point blank, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. Now, they could have missed those first couple of times, so a couple chapters later, right before Palm Sunday, when he processed into Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey, right before then, as they are going up to Jerusalem, he tells them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day. They went up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man was delivered over to the chief priests and scribes. They condemned him to death. They delivered him over to the Gentiles, the Romans, to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And so now here we are on the third day, he is to be raised. Jesus said all of these things to the disciples, to the women, before they ever happened, months and years in advance. And so he must have done it. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But as if the women weren't convinced enough by Jesus' words, the angel gives them the proof they need right here. He steps to one side. He invites them to walk into the tomb to see for themselves that Jesus wasn't there, that Jesus is risen. That's why the angel came down to open the tomb in the first place. He didn't need to open the tomb so that Jesus could leave, but rather so that the women and everyone else could look in to see that the tomb was empty. If the women had gone into the tomb, they would have seen. Everything was in the tomb just as it had been left. The linen cloths where they had been folded up. The cloth that was covering his face folded up separately. The linens are all there, but the body is gone. There could be no mistaking it. Christ is risen. Now, there are a lot of people in our world today who will try to argue against Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus only swooned from blood loss. The cool air in the tomb must have revived him. Or that the disciples stole his body. Or the most laughable of all, the women went to the wrong tomb. It's amazing just how the Bible itself anticipates and rejects every single one of these claims. The idea that Jesus swooned, there's one problem with that. The Roman soldiers who executed Jesus and were accountable for that criminal to ensure his death. If Jesus had survived crucifixion, every single Roman soldier in that detachment would have been executed for dereliction of duty. And those Roman soldiers who executed him, they were really, really good at their job. And their job is death. They know what death looks like. They would never have taken him off the cross if there was even the possibility that he was still alive. And actually, in history, we have one story from the Jewish Roman historian Josephus of a man surviving a crucifixion when he was taken down from a cross, but that was after receiving the best available treatment from Roman surgeons, and after two others who had been taken down at the same time did not survive it. For Jesus to have survived crucifixion and then recovered in a tomb without any care would have been absurd. And even beyond that, the level of trauma to the limbs from crucifixion, nails through the wrists, nails through the a nail through the ankles, there is no way that you'd be able to walk after that. You would be a cripple, not going anywhere. And as if that's not enough, the Roman soldier stabbed him through the heart with a spear before they even took him down. The blood and water that came out of the wound is evidence that he was dead. The blood had already begun to separate. So yes, Jesus really did die on that cross. That Jesus who was crucified died and was buried. Okay, how about the possibility that the disciples stole the body? Chief priests were worried about that very occurrence, and so they had done everything they could to ensure that it could not happen. They had the tomb sealed with a Roman seal, guarded by Roman soldiers. And ironically, the guards that the chief priests left there are proof that there's no way the disciples could have gotten in and stolen the body. Now, evidently, after our reading today, it comes out that the story had been circulated by the priests after Jesus' resurrection that the body had been stolen by the disciples. But because the guards returned to the chief priest to give their accounts, and the chief priest then bribed them to tell everyone that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body while they were asleep. Problem with that story is that if the soldiers had done that, they would have all been executed. This is a very capital punishment heavy military. If the disciples had stolen the body, then they would have been punished. And so, no, the disciples did not steal the body. So did the women then go to the wrong tomb? I actually have to laugh at that one. Do you honestly think that Mary Magdalene forgot which tomb it was? The women had watched Jesus' burial. They had watched as he was taken down from the cross. They had gone with Joseph of Arimathea while he buried the body. They marked which tomb it was. The soldiers were even there when the women arrived. The remains of the seal is still on the tomb. They recognized the burial cloths that had been on Jesus' body. And as if that's not enough, if they had gone to the wrong body, how easy would it have been for someone to say, oh, it's that one over there, and to correct them? So yes, the women did go to the right tomb, and that tomb was empty. So having seen the angel, having heard his words, having seen for themselves the proof, what could the woman do now but return in fear and joy to share what they had experienced? Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I actually find that fascinating, the mix of emotions that the women were experiencing, fear and joy. Now, for myself, I understand the joy. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is my favorite time of the church year for a reason. It's a celebration of the reason why we are Christians. I'm not a Christian because Jesus taught some sound moral philosophy, though he did that. I am not a Christian because Jesus healed some sick people, though he did also do that. I am a Christian because, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul ties the Christian faith inextricably to Christ's resurrection. If Christ hasn't been raised, then what's the point of believing in him, since he said he would rise and that he would bring us back from the dead too? If he didn't rise from the dead, how can we believe anything that he said? If he didn't rise, then there's no resurrection for us either. But indeed, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And because of that, we know that we will rise too. So who wouldn't rejoice to hear that Christ has been raised from the dead and we will rise as well? But then, why would the women feel fear in leaving the tomb? When we think of fear, especially towards God and his activities, we should keep in mind our position towards him. We ourselves, weak, poor human beings that we are, God in his might can do anything that he wants. Taken in this way, fear is not about terror, but about reverence and awe. A healthy respect for God, that God is so much greater than we are. And the women here are confronted by something so great, so powerful, so awe-inspiring. Who wouldn't be afraid? God has done something that they only imagined was possible. Jesus had before this performed miracles, even raising people from the dead. But now he has done that for himself. The only possible point of comparison they might have had was in the Old Testament with the prophet Elisha, who had raised two people from the dead during his life, and after his death, his bones had even brought back a man who had died when that man's body was thrown into Elisha's tomb. But even Elisha could not perform that miracle on himself. And so here Jesus is so much greater than even the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, so much more powerful than anyone else, so much more than anything they could possibly have imagined. This means that everything Jesus said to them during his life, all of it is true. Jesus raised people from the dead, and he promised eternal life. He called God our Father. All of that, every word, is true for you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, on their way back to the city, the women had an even greater joy. They saw Jesus himself in front of them on the path. Long before the angel had told them that they would see him in Galilee, here he is standing in front of them. There was no mistaking it now. The angel's words were true. Jesus had been raised from the dead just as he had promised. All their hopes, all their faith, all of it had been true. They had gone to the tomb distracted from Jesus' promises. They had gone to the tomb with their attention on the work they would have to do, but they returned from the tomb to meet Jesus personally. Now, we don't get to see Jesus personally, not the way the women did, at least. Jesus does not come and stand here in front of us to show us the scars of his death in his hands and his feet. But we, like the women, we hear the message of the angel that he is risen from the dead, just as he said. We have the testimony of the scripture, all the promises of God that are fulfilled in Christ. We see the signs of his resurrection in the empty tomb and the faithful witnesses. We have Christ present here with us, albeit in an unexpected way, here today, and every time we gather in this house, he is present with us, meeting us along the road in our worship and in the bread and wine of the sacrament, his true body and his true blood. The same body broken on the cross and raised from the tomb, the same blood spilled from those very scars which remain even after his resurrection. Here on this altar, waiting for you to receive them, a constant testimony of our crucified and risen Savior, which we receive before returning from his presence into the world also with fear and great joy. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.